If you're going to know God, then God must have the freedom to tell you who he is.
Dr. Tony Evans says it's up to us to listen when he does and then act on what we hear.
You know God when who he is defines who you are.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. We all want to be accepted as we are. Today, Dr. Evans explains why God expects nothing less. Let's join him.
Today, I want to talk to you about life's greatest pursuit, the knowledge of God. Let me ask you a question. How well do you know God? Now, some people don't know him at all. Those are the unconverted. They don't know him. But then there are others who know him casually. There's this casual acquaintance with God. They can reference him. They believe in him. So there's a casuality to their knowledge of God. Other people know him informationally. They can talk about him. In fact, they may talk about him regularly. They may have read enough about him. They may have heard enough sermons about him. They may have studied enough books about him that they can give an in-depth description that's relatively sound on who God is. Others know him religiously. They can tell you how it feels when the Holy Ghost gets all over them. They can describe emotively the feeling God gives them. Other people know God in a way that's programmatic because they're doing the program thing. They connect that with the knowledge of God. But none of that is what I am talking about. Now, it may include a number of things. It certainly will include your intellect. It will include your emotions. But that's not what I mean by knowing God. He says, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts, boast in this, that he understands and knows me. When a man sees a lady that captures his imagination and says to her, what's your name? I want to get to know you. It begins with an introduction, but an introduction is not his goal. He now wants some more information, but information is not his goal. It's necessary because that information is designed based on his interest to lead to a relationship so that they begin to date and to see each other and start talking on the phone. The facts have now moved to a whole nother level. Feelings are now involved, having gained more facts. And then one day he says, will you marry me? And if she says yes, they get married and they go on their honeymoon. And assuming they have waited until they have gotten married, on that night, he gets to know her. You see, that's why the Bible says, Adam knew Eve and she conceived. The Bible talks about, people talk about knowing in the biblical sense, meaning sex. That is, an intertwining of life, an intermingling of being. When God wanted to use a word that describes what he wants with you, he used a sexual word. The same word when Adam knew Eve and she conceived is the very same word that he uses when he says, that you know me. So we're not talking about meeting him. We're not talking about gaining information about him. We're not talking about dating him. He is interested in intimacy at the highest level. That's what he's wanting with his people. That's what he is wanting in the relationship. The context of these two verses is very interesting. The concept is the Babylonian captivity and chaos is ruling in the land. God comes in the midst of this chaos and he gives them these two verses in Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24. And how relevant are these two verses? Because he starts off by letting them know, y'all are after the wrong thing. And he uses the word boasting. He uses three areas: riches, wisdom, and might. Let's contemporize it. A big bank account, high roller, plenty of degrees on the wall, edumacation, and clout, power, success, prominence, notoriety. The three things every American wants: to make as much as they can make, to go as high as they can go, get your education, and to climb the ladder of success. But what he says is, if that's all you got to brag about, if that's your claim to fame, that you got money in the bank, that you've gotten your master's and your MBA and your PhD, and you've now risen to become the most powerful person in the company or the culture, and you now think you're something, you're bragging about it. He says, you're bragging about the wrong thing. Look at the time and attention that we give to those three things. Those are not casual relationships. Trying to make money, that's an 8-hour trip a day plus. Look at the energy given to get the degrees and to go further than high school. Look at the hard work you're putting in to become more mighty in your company, your culture, in your environment. That, in other words, you invest in that. That's not, I hope it happens. Maybe one day. You'll tell somebody in a minute who plays you wrong, I work hard to get this. You want it to be clear that this was a serious investment. He says, but if that's your claim to fame, he's not condemning having money, having an education, or having success, or might, or power, or prominence. He's not saying those things are wrong. In fact, the Bible says in numbers of occasions, he gives men all three of these things. He's not condemning the having of it. He's condemning it if you have it at the expense of intimacy with God. If you know your bank account, but you don't know God. If you know your degrees, but you don't know God. You know your skills. If you've reached a level where everybody knows you, but you don't know him. It says, let not a wise man boast in his wisdom. Pride in any one of those areas, not having them, but pride in any one of those areas needs to be treated like my beard. I shave it every day. Virtually every day I get up and I put shaving cream on my face, because if I don't shave it, it will grow. And if you don't keep riches and education and success in its proper place, it'll grow on you. And if you keep it unshaved, it'll take over. We'll forget what you look like. Like the woodpecker that was pecking on the tree, just pecking on the tree and pecking on the tree and pecking on the tree. And then lightning came and hit the tree and split it in half. He's talking about, look what I did. See, because it's easy to become like Nebuchadnezzar when you forget God. Look at this Babylon that I have built. Look at this talent that I have. Look at this money that I've accumulated. Look at what I've done. He says, what you need to know is not simply what's in the bank and what's on the wall and what name people call me by. He says, I want you to know me. And by know, I'm talking about plunging the depth of my being. You know, fans, they show up to see what's going to happen. The fans will talk about the players. They can give you stats. They can give you information. Haven't met nobody. Haven't met a soul. And Jesus has a lot of fans. See, they'll come to church and they'll fill the auditorium and they'll talk about him. God this and God that and Jesus this and the Holy Ghost that. Don't know nobody. Not that they know him, it's that they're fans. And you know what fans do? Fans will show up every time there's a game. They're season ticket holders. If you're going to know somebody who is in another world, God is spirit. That's another world. But he wants to be known in your world, earth. So we're not talking about some pie in the sky. It's when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. That's not what the discussion is here. He says that I am the Lord who is the Lord of loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. So to know me is to know how I operate. You know, when you really get to know somebody, you can kind of predict what they're going to do. Because you've gotten to know them. And so you can predict the action and the reaction. You know when it's, uh-oh. You've kind of scoped them out. You know them. That's why Moses said, I want to know you. Show me your ways. We'll look at that passage. I want to know you. So let me see how you operate. When you get to know somebody like that, you get to know their likes, their dislikes, their preferences. You get to know, how they're going to function, how they're not going to function. Why? Because you have gotten to know information that has led to intimacy. But let me explain something here that's throwing us a little curveball in the knowledge of God. And I'm using the male-female relationship because that was the image. God said, let us create man in our own image. So the image of the male-female relationship was the image that God used to explain himself in ways that we could grab. If a guy sashays over to a lady and says, I want to get to know you. He has an immediate problem on his hands. Once he says, I want to get to know you, he has now an immediate situation. Because now the question is, does she want to be known by you? Hello, tell the truth. Come on. Some of you have faced that. You better get out of my face. You know. Come on, don't act like you Don Juan. You know, player. In other words, to know someone is only as good as their willingness to be known. We call that a revelation. Revelation is where God unveils himself and lets you see what he is like.
Well, Dr. Evans will come back with more of our message in just a moment. Stay with us.
Do you want to experience God's deliverance? How about gain his wisdom? Maybe you want to have a greater impact for his kingdom. Or perhaps you just long to know who you really are in God's eyes. These are just some of the blessings that come from pursuing God and knowing him intimately. And you can discover how to do that with Dr. Tony Evans' newest book, Knowing God, along with DVD Bible study and study guide. Get yours today at tonyevans.org.
Part of the church experience is meeting with friends, even if these days it's online or from a distance. But Dr. Evans says the main point of worship is meeting with God. If you don't feel like you have that kind of intimate relationship with the Lord, do some deeper study by getting a copy of his current series, Knowing God. It'll teach you how to move from a casual acquaintance to an intimate friend, feeling so close to the Lord that he changes you from the inside out.
We'd like to send you a copy of all 8 full-length lessons in this collection as our thank you gift when you call or go online and help us out with a contribution. In fact, along with the teaching series, we'll also send you Tony's just-released book, The Power of Knowing God, along with the companion study guide and resource DVD to help you get the most out of it, all as our way of showing our appreciation for your faithfulness. Get all the details and make your request online at tonyevans.org or give us a call at 1-800-800-3222 before this special offer runs out. I'll repeat that information for you later in the program, but right now, here's Dr. Evans with more of today's message.
Revelation is when you're sitting at a play and the curtain is closed. You hear rumbling in the back, so you know something's there, but you don't know quite what it is because there is a veil, a covering that's blocking you seeing what's really there until it's time for there to be an unveiling. The curtain opens. Then you see behind the curtain what's really there. So the first thing that you need to know if you want to know God is that God has to unveil himself to you. Now, why do you need to know that if you want to know God? Because what you presuppose may not be what you wind up with. A lot of men have been shocked by what they wound up with. Tell the truth, shame that. What man is willing to admit that? You better put your hand down. You were shocked. You said, I didn't know she was like this. It was like the man who married that opera singer. Prettiest thing he'd ever seen. Most beautiful voice he'd ever heard. Swift romance, married her, went up for their honeymoon. Boy, was he shocked. She took off her wig, revealing a bald head. She took out false teeth out of her mouth, upper and lower. She plopped out a glass eye and put it on the table. She unstrapped a wooden leg. One of the legs were wooden. He looked at that lady and said, "You better sing." A lot of people approach God and want to impose on him what they want him to be. They don't want God to unveil who he is. They want to tell him who they want him to be. Then they get ticked off when they find out he's not like that. There are a lot of misconceptions about God. That's why there's so many misquote scriptures. Like the Bible says, you make one step, God make two. Anybody quoted that? Not from the Bible, you didn't. Because we impose on God that which we want God to be. If you're going to know God, then God must have the freedom to tell you who he is, to tell you what he likes. And for most people, even Christians, God does not have that freedom. We do not want a God who unveils himself. We want a God who is convenient to us. But then you don't know God. You know the idol you created that you call God. I am the Lord. I say who I am. That's why the knowledge of the attributes or characteristics or perfections of God is so critical, because that's God telling you who he is. And when you relate to God any other way than who he tells you he is, you're no longer relating to the true God. Therefore, you don't get to know him. How many times have you said to somebody, "Don't speak for me. I can speak for myself." If you can do that with people, don't you think God can handle talking for himself? You know God when who he is defines who you are. The discovery is pretty awesome, though, because he says that you will discover my loving kindness. That Hebrew word hesed, one of those words that are in the ionosphere. It means loyal love. Sometimes it's translated kindness. It means if you discover who I am based on who I say I am, the Lord, you will discover how committed I am to you. See, because a lot of us don't believe God is committed to us. You know, we look at our circumstances, our problems. We look at our difficulties. We say, well, boy, you can't be that committed to me. I'm going through all this. We don't know how committed. He says, you will discover my loyalty to you. I am more committed to you than you could ever imagine. You will discover my justice, he says. Justice has to do with equity among men. It has to do with the horizontal relationships that God has established. You will understand how people ought to relate to people based on a divine standard. Then you'll discover my righteousness. That is my standard based on pleasing me. So vertical standard pleasing me, justice, equity among men, all having to do with earth. In other words, the knowledge of God will affect how you think, how you act, how you react. It'll affect how you handle everything fairly, equitably, related, so comprehensive. When you will not allow God to be God because you want to impose on him something that he does not agree with, that is himself, when that becomes the fact, then he will stop unveiling himself. He's not going to keep unveiling himself so you can keep redefining the unveiling. We've often heard people, or maybe we've said it ourselves, you got to accept me as I am. Now, you know if you're a sinner saying that. You're a sinner. You got to accept me as I am. And you having trouble accepting you as you are. You got to accept me as I am. And we will quickly say that as human beings. How much more should God, the creator of the universe, not be accepted for who he says he is, not who you would prefer him to be? And you hear people all the time, well, I don't think God would do that. Well, in the words of a parent, try me. I don't think this, I don't think that. Everybody's got a thought. Revelation means I'm going to tell you. I don't need you to tell me who I am. I want you to be known collectively and individually. You know me. You know me. That I'm this kind of God. And I love this. And in those things I delight. Wow. In other words, you're making me happy. Now, if God is on the inside and he's happy, and he's on the inside, how should you be feeling? See, so maybe you're not happy because the God is on the inside not happy. Because he's not delighting in your knowledge of him. How many wives are unhappy even though they are legally married? Because there's no relationship in the house. There's just a legal standing. Nobody talking, nobody spending time, nobody dating, nobody romancing. That is, tell you want something. I'm trying to keep it real. You want something, now you're nice. What you want isn't a relationship. You don't want my heart, you want my hand. God has a resume. Thick resume, 66 book resume. Thick, thick, thick. You read this resume and you go, wow, wow, you got experience. You have a resume. You have some experience on you. Not only does he have a resume, he has references. Got people all over the world talk about him. How many references you want? He can give you men, women, boy, girl, tall, short. He can give you references on anything. He got a reference. But it's normal after an employer has gotten a resume and checked on references, they want an interview. Because while what's written is good And what other folk are saying is nice. I want to see you for myself. See, a lot of Christians are satisfied with God's resume. So they come to church every Sunday and say, read me some more of your resume, God. Your resume is a good resume. He's got a resume. It's an awesome resume. And but the problem is some Christians are satisfied with the resume. And folk love the references, testimonies. Testimony. He been good. He's mighty good. God is good all the time, all the time. God is good. That's testimony. References. People be going around just talking about God, just reciting God. They got references all over the place. God is saying, I'm waiting for an interview. I'm waiting for us to sit across the table. Because I want to know you. Who wants to get to know you make a big difference? Guess what? The God of the universe is saying, I want to get to know you. And you saying, well, one day, I'm tied up. I'm busy becoming rich, getting an education, and improving my status. We would do for a president what we're not willing to do for God. And that is get to know him. We're going to spend this year trying to get to know him. Me? Stop talking about me too. Because one of the worst things that can happen to a preacher is that he has to spend so much time explaining the resume that you can wind up preparing sermons for others that you're not benefiting from yourself. God wants us to know him. I'm simply saying this year, make it your goal to know him, to experience him.
Dr. Tony Evans, talking about committing ourselves to life's greatest pursuit. And that all begins with having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If that's something that's new to you, here's Dr. Evans to explain why it's so important.
The greatest need in all of our lives is for the forgiveness of sins. And there's only one person who can do that. That's Jesus Christ. That's why he died on the cross and rose from the dead. And he offers forgiveness of sins. If you're carrying guilt for what you've done, fear for what you've done, Jesus Christ is right here, right now. If you go to him, confess your sinfulness to him, and trust him to forgive you, he will do it on the spot and also grant you eternal life.
Find out more about what it means to have a personal relationship with God. Visit TonyEvans.org and follow the link that simply says Jesus. You'll find everything you need, including a special invitation from Dr. Evans and some free resources to get your new life started off right. Also, while you're there, don't forget to take advantage of our special limited-time offer, Tony's brand new book, The Power of Knowing God, along with the companion study guide and resource DVD, plus all 8 messages from his current Knowing God series on CD. All these are our gift to you and our way of saying thanks when you make a generous contribution to help keep Tony's important teaching available on this station and on other outlets around the world. Just contact us right away at 1-800-800-3222 to make the arrangements before time runs out. Resource team members are standing by to assist you. That's 1-800-800-3222 or request the Knowing God package online at TonyEvans.org. Again, that's TonyEvans.org. Well, next week, Dr. Evans explains why our relationship with God is exactly as deep as we want it to be and what we can do if we'd like to see a change. I hope you'll be back with us. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.